This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
DeSantis dropped out. I'll give you my thoughts on that tonight. We honor the fallen. Senator Tommy Tuberville is here. All that, so much more coming up tonight on I'm Right. All right, I am aware that Ron DeSantis officially dropped out of the presidential race, and I am going to give you all my thoughts on that in just a little bit. Just stay with me. We have a couple things we want to do here right off the top. Okay, today, officially, the Pentagon announced that two Navy SEALs have been declared dead. Now, let's recap this story again. Because maybe you're thinking to yourself, Jesse, I heard you talk about this before. What was the holdup? So on and so forth. Okay, a couple Navy SEALs, well, a bunch of Navy SEALs were trying to board a vessel off the coast of Somalia. High seas, bad waves. One of them, while trying to board, got swept into the bad waves. Another one, his friend, very close friends, from what I understand, I've been in contact with some of the families involved, very, very close friends. They were like this. Sees his buddy go into the raging ocean. He follows him into the raging ocean. They go missing, cannot be found. 10 days later, they're declared dead. Okay, so what was the holdup? You're always holding out hope, especially when you're dealing with people who are as capable in the ocean as Navy SEALs are. You're always holding out hope. Listen. 2 or 3 days after, really about 24 hours after, from the people I know in that community, they were already saying, it doesn't look good. We're still praying, we're hoping, but it doesn't look good. So I need to explain something to people. So I've had a bunch of people reach out to me with a bunch of different questions about this, and I am not a Navy SEAL, all right? I just know a few, so this is the reality of it. I was just an average Marine. Here's the truth. Even Navy SEALs, all their training, all their strength, all their comfort in the ocean, all their equipment, they have all this great equipment on. Even Navy SEALs cannot defeat the ocean. Have you ever been out in the middle of the ocean? I'm not talking about down at the beach, you know, with your little floaties in. You ever been out in the middle of the ocean? And I love it. I love going out there, but I'll tell you part of the reason I love it is I find it terrifying. You want to feel small? You want to be reminded of how small you are? Go out to the middle of an ocean. You can be in the biggest, strongest ship on Earth. You can be in an aircraft carrier, and the ocean will swallow you up like that. That's the ocean. Can't defeat the ocean. These guys are gone. Please pray for their families. They are in a lot of pain right now, understandably. Also, honor that sacrifice. Listen. You've heard me talk about this before, so I'll say it again. I am a father. I have 2 sons, James and Luke. They're 13 and 15. I'm sure I'm not a good father. I'm trying. You know, I love them. I'm sure I'm messing them up in some ways, probably helping them out in other ways. I want to know how to raise my sons to be the type of men who will look at a raging ocean and see their buddy go in and go in after it. That's not diving into the water down on the beach. That's diving into hell because your buddy's down in hell. How do you raise men like that? I don't know. I don't have any idea. But what a testament to those men and their families. If any are watching right now, I know some probably are. I know nothing takes care of the pain or the loss. I'm not even going to attempt to say that. But wow. You should feel proud, extremely proud. All right, so Semper Fi, brothers, rest in peace. We also have some traumatic brain injury in Iraq. that's not to be dismissed either. That's the kind of thing that can tear you up for life. Iran keeps launching missiles at our troops. We now have traumatic brain injury. Let's keep those people in their prayers as well. Now that brings me to the uglier side of life. There are things happening now in this country that we've never experienced before in American history. And this, very sadly, is one of the things we have experienced before in American history, only in a different way. What is this? The American president talking about the American military being used on the American people. Before I get to the latest Joe Biden comments, though, listen. This isn't just Joe Biden, because you can dismiss this as just a one-off. Oh, Joe Biden's got dementia. What's he saying? This has become a consistent talking point with America's communists. You hear it in the media. You hear it from multiple politicians, not just Joe Biden. Eric Swalwell famously threatened to nuke American citizens. Joe Biden has gotten extremely comfortable getting up in front of people and threatening to send airstrikes on American citizens.
And I love people who say, the blood of liberty, or the tree of liberty is watered with the blood of patriots. Well, guess what, man? I didn't see a whole lot of patriots that are out there walking around making sure that we have these weapons. Well, and if you really want to worry about the government, you need an F-16.
You understand what he's saying there, right? You can dismiss it as a talking point. There's a reason they're all saying it. You get what he's saying? They've thought about this. This is something that has been discussed in Democrat circles, clearly, because it's so common. So common. They've discussed these things. It keeps coming out of them. You hear this guy, Ellie Mistel, or whatever his stupid name is?
So if the Supreme Court says that the presidents have this, you know, complete immunity from prosecution and whatever, what's to stop, the actual president, Joe Biden, from launching a preemptive strike on a rebel stronghold at Mar-a-Lago to engineer regime change? What's to stop Biden from doing that, right? I do not think that Biden has the power to launch a strike against his political rival, right? I think it would violate posse comitatus. And, you know, murder laws, right? And so I think that Biden, if he did that, would be prosecuted.
Comes out of them a lot, joking or not, as he clearly what comes out of them a lot. Why is this something they discuss? Why is this something that modern Democrats routinely not only discuss in private, they now feel safe saying these things publicly? You need an F-16. Well, you need nukes. Do you even have nukes? These people privately think about sending the American military after you. Now, I know what you're probably sitting there thinking, Jesse, that's crazy. Jesse, you're being over the top. Jesse, these people, obviously, they wouldn't use the military unless it was to defend democracy.
Make this sacred pledge to you. The defense, protection, and preservation of American democracy would remain as it has been the central cause of my presidency.
American democracy could end with the election of Donald Trump.
Iowa, apparently short for, I don't want to live in a democracy anymore.
And the man he's declared open season on democracy.
Democracy, our freedoms are what's on the line.
Our democracy depends on you.
It really does, folks. That's no joke.
We're not a democracy, obviously, but remember when Corinne Diversity Hire was asked the day after Joe Biden's speech, when he had the two Marines standing behind him, she was asked, why did he have Marines behind him? That was totally inappropriate. The day after he called you a threat to democracy, and you remember what she said? Hey, the Marines, they're the defenders of our democracy. Over and over and over again, these people threaten to use military strikes against you, and over and over and over again, they call you a threat to democracy. Once again, for the 10,000th time, it's important for everyone on the right to understand. Primary this, and DeSantis, and Trump, and all this other stupid stuff aside, the greatest threat right now to you, your livelihood, the livelihood of your children, is the United States government turning you into a national security threat. When you hear Merrick Garland talk about the January 6th political protesters, do understand something. These people, in truth, if they're being honest, don't see an ounce of daylight between anyone who walked in the Capitol that day and you.
As I said before, the Justice Department will hold all January 6th perpetrators at any level accountable under the law. Whether they were present that day or were otherwise criminally responsible for the assault on our democracy.
Assault on our democracy. And this comes on the heels of the report last week, courtesy of Stephen Baker, Darren Beatty, the great investigative journalists out there, about the pipe bomb. The pipe bomb they've used to justify arresting 1,000 of their political opponents with the promise of arresting 1,000 more.
We were able to source this out and discover that, in fact, it was a United States Capitol Police plainclothes or undercover officer who made that surprising discovery and then wandered over to the Secret Service vehicle that was parked only 15 feet from the bomb and informed them that he had discovered what looked like a pipe bomb. And then, of course, the Secret Service agent and the Metropolitan Police officer that was sitting in that car having their lunch, finished their sandwiches first, of course, before they got out and checked on the story that a Capitol Police officer gave them. And of course, we should not leave out the fact that Vice President-elect Kamala Harris was sitting inside that building at that moment.
A threat to democracy. They keep calling you that. They call us a democracy, that's a lie. They tell everyone you're a threat to democracy, that's a lie. And then they get up and they threaten to send F-16s against you. We are entering an era that we've not seen in this country. Really, only one other time has the American military been used on American citizens, and 600,000 Americans died during that conflict. This is something these people very clearly now discuss in private. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Speaking of the American military, Senator Tommy Tuberville used his power, thank God there's someone out there who will, to block a bunch of generals and admirals from automatically getting stars. Let's talk to him about why he did it. Let's talk to him about why he ended it. Let's do all that next. Before we get to that, let's get to this. Speaking of the government being against you, one of the first things these people did was hire 87,000 new IRS agents. Who do you think they're going to go after? You see the way these people look at life. You see the way these people look at American citizens. These are our friends. These are our enemies. Who do you think they're going to come after? Are you behind on your taxes? You owe liens, all these things. Are you sitting around stressing? Oh, my gosh. You don't have to stress. Call America First Tax Group. America First Tax Group, they'll give you a free consultation. They will take care of you. Professionals are against you. Get professionals to fight with you on your side. AmericaFirstTaxGroup.com. All right? We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Can you convince BB on a two-state solution? What do you say to House Republicans who are trying
to impeach Mayorkas, sir? Do you think it's unconstitutional? Are you on the same page with Prime Minister Netanyahu?
Do you believe that the border is secure, sir?
No, it's not. I haven't
haven't believed it for the last 10 years. But I've said it for the last 10 years.
Do you believe your
Give me the money.
Actually hard to hear, but that was Joe Biden saying, no, it's not secure. We just need some money. That's all he needs is some money. You see, he wants to secure that border. Joining me now, senator from the great state of Alabama, obviously former football coach at Auburn, Senator Tommy Tuberville. Okay, Senator, he says he wants to secure the border, but anyone with eyes can see that that's actually the opposite of what they want because they got in and opened it up on purpose. It's not an accident. They did all this on purpose.
Jesse, and since I've been here for 3 years, he blames it on, well, Congress doesn't have any good bills. They won't work with us. The guy was up there for 50 years. But this is not immigration. This is not immigration, Jesse. This is an invasion of our country. And we're in bad trouble here. And it's costing billions of dollars monthly for the American taxpayers. And it's not safe. And you can hear these people come across the border now. You'll hear from us soon. I heard one say the other day. I mean, it scares me for our entire country because it's very dangerous. And again, we can't afford it.
Senator, what can be done is the question. He is the head of the executive branch. We have a tiny majority in the House, no majority at all in the Senate. Nevertheless, the majority is facilitating an invasion. Can the GOP do anything to stop it?
No, we've tried for 3 years, Jesse. These clowns won't listen to you. I mean, we've got this guy, this senator, Democratic senator from Arizona, Mark Kelly, got elected, and Arizona is being overrun. I don't know why they would elect a senator from Arizona that doesn't care about this invasion. It's just sad to see what all's going on. But Jesse, again, I want to say this. People don't realize what's happening. The border, northern border here in the United States is also getting overrun. It's up 500%. People don't realize that. It's so bad at the southern border that our northern border is getting overlooked. And we're getting more and more information daily from the Border Patrol of what's going on up there. Other senators are having problems at that border. So this thing's going to build and build and build, and it's out of hand.
Okay, explain who's coming across the northern border. Surely those Canadians aren't invading the country. Who's coming from there?
No, they're coming from all the Middle Eastern countries, any countries that they think they have an opportunity to possibly even fly into because their immigration process stinks just like ours, and there's no accountability. So this is just something that they have picked up on. If they don't want to fly in and pay the cartels down in the southern part and the northern part of Mexico, that they're going to come from the northern part. We have people even flying into airports here in our country, straight from Afghanistan, from Russia, from China, flying into Detroit, flying into Chicago, that are a huge problem. Some are being turned around, some are not. It's absolutely insane what's going on. We don't have a country anymore.
Senator, let's switch gears here. I just want to touch on this. It was great to see somebody actually use their power in the Senate and do something to try to reform our military. You were holding up these blanket promotions. You weren't holding up any individual promotion, by the way, for everybody. These blanket automatic promotions. We have huge problems within the walls of our military, with the top brass of our military is rotting out from underneath us. What can be done to stop that? Because now the call's coming from inside the House.
Well, exactly right. The problem we're having, and you know, being military, the military is the most special and probably the most important institution we have in this country because it protects our sovereignty, protects the citizens of this country, it protects our allies. My dad was career military, and so I understand what has gone over the years in terms of military teamwork, discipline, dedication, and you're doing it for the right reasons. You're not doing it for money. But I'll tell you, we're being overrun now by this DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Everything that's being taught to our military personnel. I had a military Marine tell me about 3 weeks ago, he said, Coach, I'm retiring, I'm getting out. I'd love to stay in. He said, but I'm sick of it. what they're making us go through, the problems that we're having. We have people that are promoted without merit. They just promote people because of this DEI. And he said, if I've got two boys that are teenagers, and if they have to fight in some kind of war for the United States of America, I'm moving to another country because they are not protected and they're not trained and we're not doing it for the right reasons. So, Jess, you know as well as I do, we got huge problems. Our recruiting is way down, and it's the legacy kids are not getting into the military like they used to. We've gone from 48% legacy in our military to almost 20% now. And it's just embarrassing.
It is a bad state of affairs, considering those legacy families are the ones who have been winning our wars for us for a long time. Curious, why stop the holdup? I know you had a reason. I'm glad you did it. Why stop it?
Well, I wished I could continue with this. But the problem is we had some senators on the Republican side that was siding with the Democrats. Chuck Schumer couldn't get it past me. And so what he did is he sent a rule to the Rules Committee and said, listen, let's do away with the holds by the minority in the Senate. And we've got to get around Coach because he's holding up the progress of our military, which was totally false. And I had about 10 to 12 Republican senators that just absolutely went after me. Joni Ernst, Dan Sullivan, they call themselves military, and they might be. I think they're even still in the either Guard or the Reserves or whatever. But, you know, I can see the writing on the wall. And so when they started going around me to try to change a rule, I pretty much told the people in our party that really want this country to survive because the only power you have in the minority is to have a hold on something, to just slow down the progressive movements of this Democratic Party. And if they were taking these holds away, it would not have just been my holds. It would have been everybody's. And J.D. Vance has got a hold on a lot of the people in the Justice Department. And so I didn't want to tear down the opportunity for us to be able to have a little bit of power for the next year, because we're going to need as much time to put holds on some of these people that this administration is trying to put in to try to tear down our country.
Well, I respect you for doing it. I appreciate it, Coach. Coach, thanks for coming. Please come back soon. I appreciate it. All right. Ron DeSantis dropped out. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about your money, or lack thereof. Look, we're all going through it right now. And the money's getting destroyed. They're wrecking the dollar. What do we do? What can normal people do? I don't know about you. I don't have access to the printing press. I can't walk into the Fed today and say, stop printing. Republicans spend, Democrats spend. Where does that leave us? Well, it leaves us having to protect ourselves. No one is coming to save your money. Nobody. You can protect yourself, or it is what it is. You get what you get. Call Oxford Gold Group. Oxford Gold Group, they'll do two things. They'll get gold or silver coins, whatever, delivered to your front door. Not gold bars. You don't need a bank vault. Just basic coins to protect yourself. And they'll get it in your retirement, in your IRA or 401k. I honestly wish there was some other way we could stop them. Just stop printing money and stop spending trillions of dollars. I wish, but there's not. So we have to protect ourselves. 833-995-GOLD. 833-995-GOLD. Tell them I told you to call. All right? We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
If there was anything I could do to produce a favorable outcome, more campaign stops, more interviews, I would do it. But I can't ask our supporters to volunteer their time and donate their resources if we don't have a clear path to victory. Accordingly, I am today suspending my campaign.
Okay. It's official. Ron DeSantis dropped out of the race over the weekend. He endorsed Donald Trump. He didn't endorse Nikki Haley. All right. So, look, let's have a talk. Just you and me talking here. We just have honest conversations on this show. Whether it makes you mad or not, we have honest conversations on the show. Half of the people watching right now are celebrating, maybe even doing a little football spike. And yeah, I told you Trump was going to kill him. And the other half of the people are despondent. Remember, about half the base supported Trump, about half wanted somebody else. Half are not happy. Right? DeSantis is gone. It's who they wanted. Maybe they've soured on Trump for one reason or the other. But none of that stuff matters. It's over. Now, here's what happens after you lose a race. And you need to take this from me because I've lost two. Well, I ran for Congress twice. I won two primaries. I won both my primaries. And then I lost general elections. And one thing you learn after you lose an election is everybody has their own take on exactly why you lost. Whenever you lost, everyone becomes the campaign expert you should have hired, and then you would have won. Jesse, if you'd only done that, you would have won. Jesse, if you'd only done this, you would have won. Jesse, if you'd done that, you would. And they're all different, right? Everyone becomes an expert. But let's talk about you. Let's talk about me. We're nerds. Let me explain. We're political nerds. This is, it's a good thing for you, it's a compliment, but this is our lot in life. Our lot in life is we are hyper-informed. You might even call it over-informed. You understand more about politics and the issues and this guy and that guy and this law and that law than 99.99% of the population. I wish everyone was as informed as you. They're not. Right? And I know this about you. You're watching this. You have endless options on the dial. You can turn through the TV channel. This is a phone, not a remote control. But you can turn through the TV channel and watch anything right now. You're watching me on I'm Right. You're overinformed. So overinformed people, what they'll do is, I do this too, I'm guilty too, they'll project this, their state, their overinformed state, they'll project it onto all the voters. And that's why you get these ridiculous analysis of dead campaigns or campaigns that are gone. Ron DeSantis should have done this. If Ron DeSantis had just hired a different media director in Iowa, oh, shut up. None of the voters even know who Ron DeSantis's media director was. Elections are not about small things. We overinformed people think they're about small things. This campaign manager, did you see that ad? Elections are about big things. Donald Trump was just president for 4 years. Donald Trump is still the most popular president in the United States of America. It's likely that it was impossible for any Republican in the country to take on and defeat Donald Trump in the primary. That's likely before the indictments came down. Then the indictments came down and it sealed the deal. You and I don't have to argue about it. All the polling shows it. The numbers ringing closer and closer and closer, and then Trump gets indicted, and pow, it was never within 30, 40 points after that. The GOP base is not going to stand for the federal government indicting Donald Trump on bogus crap charges, and they were never under any circumstances going to consider liking someone else more than they like him. I know that may not apply to you. It's a coin flip. Like I said, half the base loves him, half the base does not. That's the truth. DeSantis could have run the best campaign in history. It would not have mattered. George Washington could come back and run for office, and Trump would still beat him soundly in all 50 states. It's Donald Trump, still the most popular Republican, and now he's indicted. Okay, so listen, I'm just going to give you this, because we have a bunch of other stuff in this show we want to get to. I'll just give you this. We are fresh off of DeSantis officially bowing out. This is a time where people get extremely emotional. Highs and lows. You're in for about 48 to 72 hours of a lot of Donald Trump people spiking the football. We won! You suck! Go home! And that's fine. That's what winners do. And we're 48 to 72 hours. We're in for about 48 to 72 hours of a bunch of DeSantis people saying, I'm never voting for Trump. Screw him. All is lost. The country's over. I get all that. Let people be emotional for 48 to 72 hours, and then we move on to the general election. And so people ask me, too, Jesse, what are you going to do? How are you going to handle it? I'll tell you, I've always been honest with you about how I vote, who I vote for, and why I vote. I've always been honest with you about that. I intend to vote for Donald Trump in the general election, just like I did in the last general election. I understand if that's a no for you. People will say that to me, well, Jesse, I'm not voting at all. And they'll say it as if they want me to correct them or scold them. Your vote is the only political power you have. I shouldn't have that power, the power of your vote. Your sister shouldn't. Your daughter, your mom, your dad, your neighbor, your co-worker. Your vote is your only power. In a representative republic like we have, it's the only power you have. You don't give it away for anybody. If you want to crawl over 10 miles of broken glass to work for and vote for Donald Trump for president in November, then you do that. If you hate his guts for the lockdown stuff or whatever, and you're, Jesse, I'm not voting. I'm voting for RFK or whatever. Fine. You know what matters to me? Not who you vote for or who you don't vote for. Because that's not the biggest problem we have in this country. The biggest problem we have in this country is people don't care. People are apathetic. What matters most to me is that you care. That you care enough to vote or not vote for a reason. You care. The American people who don't, they are the problem. Election after election after election after election, especially primary elections, we watch the GOP primary voter stay home, sit on his hands, watching the game tonight, and then complains about the state of the country. You care enough to vote or not vote for someone, that's the most important thing in the world to me. You're not going to offend me no matter what you email me and tell me. As for what it means for the general election, I don't know. This is going to be unlike anything we've ever seen. All the indictments, and then there'll be convictions, and the money-wise, where we end up, I don't know. You know what? Let's ask Ned Ryan about that. Ned Ryan's one of these Politico guys. He'll understand a lot. Ned Ryan is going to join us next. Before we get to Ned Ryan, let's talk about this.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Let's talk about your garbage timeshare that you're stuck in. Now, I'm not insulting your timeshare. It's just the annual fees have doubled, haven't they? Special assessments. It's hard to even get into your timeshare now, isn't it? Sorry, call back next year. And you went out. But you can't get out. At least that's what you think. You think you're stuck. But Lone Star Transfer will get you out. They will legally and permanently get you out of your timeshare. All you have to do is call them. They can't help you if you don't call them. They're successful 99% of the time. If you pick up that phone and dial the number, 844-310-2646, if you dial that number, there is a 99% chance you will be free of your timeshare for life. Call them. 844-310-2646. We'll be back.
Can you hear that sound? That's the sound of a two-person race.
I'm sorry. Look, let's talk to Ned. Joining me now, Ned Ryan, CEO of American Majority. Okay, Ned, let's fast forward through all the crap here. This is not a two-person race. To be honest, looking back on it now, it never was a two-person race. It never was a three-person race. It's Donald Trump's nomination now. So fast forward through all the other idiocy. What's the end game here for Nikki Haley, Ned? Is this her pitching to be VP? Is she going to sell a book? Why still stay in? Why?
That's a great question, Jesse. I have no real answers for that. This was never a primary. I mean, you're right. This wasn't a two or three person race or four or five. This was never really a primary. Donald Trump had this thing wrapped up months and months ago because the Republican base made it very clear who they wanted as their nominee, Donald J. Trump. I think Nikki's hanging in there in hopes that somehow, miraculously, she pulls something off in New Hampshire and that gives new life to her campaign. You know, quick memo, not going to happen. She's going to get crushed. There was a poll that came out after DeSantis dropped out the other day in which she's now down by 27 points in New Hampshire to Donald Trump. And even if she were to win, Jesse, even if she were to win New Hampshire, she's just staving off the inevitable, because on March 5th, Super Tuesday, where I think there's 15, 16 states on the docket that day, she has no infrastructure to be able to compete. It's over at that point. Is she trying to be VP? I certainly hope not. I would hope that Donald Trump realizes we don't want a neocon as vice president. America First has clearly rejected that philosophy. Is she looking for a book deal or MSNBC or CNN? Possibly. I mean, I think it'd be a good fit for her to be a MSNBC or CNN contributor. But there is no end game for her to actually be winning the nomination in 2024 for the Republican Party.
Okay, let's deal with the VP thing right off the bat, Ned. I know you have a lot of friends in the Trump campaign, as do I. I've asked if this is something that's being considered, and I have not once heard a no. I've heard a lot of, well, him and Hahn, well, maybe, or I don't like her. I've never once heard a no. Now, I understand the VP normally fills in blanks you think you have or tries to get you to build a coalition. Is this something you think they're considering? Because that's a concern for a lot of us.
It is a real concern, Jesse, and I've seen some conservatives on Twitter actually proposing this idea, and I've tried to push back on that as quickly as possible. I think Nikki Haley is completely unacceptable in any position, whether it's VP or a secretary in one of the departments. For Donald Trump, she does not fit the America First agenda on any level. It's a shame she was in the first Trump administration. You know, if you want a female to be a VP, I understand that Kim Reynolds, governor of Iowa, really rubbed Donald Trump the wrong way by endorsing and supporting Ron DeSantis in Iowa. Trump is able to get over Ron DeSantis competing against him. I would hope you would get over Kim Reynolds endorsing Ron DeSantis and potentially pick her, Kim Reynolds, as his vice presidential candidate. Kristi Noem's a non-starter. So I think there's been a lot of discussion about a variety of people. There's only a few acceptable ones, but Nikki Haley's not on that list.
Okay, let's talk about the Trump DeSantis world. And no, I'm not worried about the people who are super emotionally invested in one guy or the other. I know DeSantis jumps out. You're going to have 48 hours of the winners spiking the football and the losers taking their ball and going home. And I don't give a crap about any of that. Right. But those two men individually, are they going to be able to, once the emotions are gone, are they going to merge worlds? Is there, do you believe, real, genuine animosity there between the two men? Where do we sit with all this?
I mean, there is real animosity. That was very personal, stemming back from 2018, 2019, between the DeSantis camp and Trump camp, specifically Susie Wiles, who's the campaign manager for Donald Trump and her team. I think there's an ability to get past it. They have to. We have to unite in the face of Joe Biden and the un-American left that's on a rampage in destroying this country. So I hope they can get past it. I think there will be certainly detente. I would hope that Ron DeSantis will be out there barnstorming for Donald Trump and do all that he can to, you know, secure Trump the nomination, which I think is going to happen anyway, but also help him through the general election in November of 2024, because we can't lose, Jesse. I would hope that's so obvious to everybody listening that we cannot stand another 4 years of Joe Biden. And the un-American left having political power, importing another 10 million new voters via illegal immigration and everything else that's taking place. We have to win. So I would certainly hope, and really this comes down to Ron DeSantis. I mean, Donald Trump is in the driver's seat. I hope that Ron DeSantis can be magnanimous and say, I'm going to do everything that I can to help Donald Trump get elected, and that he'll actually do it.
Ned, let's talk about something nobody likes to talk about in politics, and that's money. You know, people were famous for saying to me and everyone else, get the money out of politics, that's what we need, as if that's a thing that can ever happen. Money's in politics, money matters a lot in politics, it always has, it always will. Democrats not only have a lot of it, they're able to use every dime of theirs towards the general election. Trump, through no fault of his own, does not have that luxury. He's going to have millions and millions and millions of dollars that could have been spent on Joe Biden paying for his lawyers. Where does that put us? Where does it put us behind? Where are we going to fall short? They're not.
Well, we're always going to be a little bit behind the gun in regards to money. Their small dollar donor fundraising is incredible. I would argue I'd really like to know a lot more about Act Blue's how they're actually getting all of that money. I would question some of their verifying of where that money's coming from. That all to say, that's not changing between now and November. So Republicans and conservatives are going to have to step up and fill the gaps. I mean, that's what we're trying to do with American Majority Action, our C4, with our ballot chase program that we plan to do in four, if not five, key presidential battleground states. So I think, you know, Donald Trump's going to do the best that he can. I think he'll have enough money to run a very legitimate campaign in the key states, because we all know this comes down to really about 10 states. And I think it's incumbent upon outside organizations to step up and fill the gap and be there to do certain things like absentee ballot chase, like voter registration. You know, Jesse, I know that there are groups that are doing this on the right. They're doing a pretty good job of it. At the same time, this is going to come down to who has a plan in place and can execute the absentee ballot chase program. The last 4 to 6 weeks of the election coming down the home stretch in those key states, because we know this too, if it's 10 states that are the key states, it's really going to come down to three or four, and it's probably going to come down to 10 or 15,000 votes in each one of those states. So how well can you execute a plan and do it to the best of your ability coming down the home stretch to maximize getting 80%+ of Republican absentee ballots in? And I'm fairly optimistic we're going to be able to do that. But again, Jesse, I expect the left to pull all kinds of tricks. They're already trying to lax, you know, make laws even more lax in regards to voting rights, especially in Arizona, for those who aren't even legal citizens in this country. So it's going to be a dogfight, but I look at the numbers and realize we actually have a real shot if we do the right things.
Okay, I'm glad you brought up Arizona, because that actually led me directly into my final question, Ned. These states, we all know which states matter. Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, Arizona, North Carolina, everyone gets it. What kind of election integrity improvements have been made in these states? Because there are a lot of us who look back at 2020 and we have some serious concerns over what happened there while Donald Trump was president. So while he's a private citizen, we now have twice the concern.
As well, we should. I mean, the left never sleeps, especially on this front coming into an election year. I would encourage people to read the article at The Federalist today about how non-citizen voting in Arizona has exploded because of Democrats having the ability to do certain things and making those laws more lax inside of Arizona. That all to say, Jesse, the numbers that exist right now for Republicans in regards to voter registration advantage, absentee, permanent absentee ballot, and how many ballots are out there for Republicans right now, we had better win. Let's put it this way. We can win with the numbers that are out right now. Can we win 4 years from now? If this continues on, I have my serious questions about that. So we better win this game this time around and immediately go into using the political power we've been given to change some of these rules to get back to more free and fair elections. The left's not interested in those. They're interested in doing whatever they can to rig a system to gain political power. And so once we get political power, we better use it and use it effectively to make sure that we get back to having free and fair elections that don't allow illegal immigrants to vote in them, that are much more secure in regards to who gets a ballot and who doesn't.
Yeah. Ned, thank you, my brother. Come back soon. All right. We have a light in the mood next.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
All right, before we get to lighten the mood, I'm going to do something, a little programming note here. Tomorrow night, we're going to have live coverage of the New Hampshire primary right here, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the first. You don't need to change the channel. I got to go get the breaking stuff. 9 p.m. Eastern time, right here on the first. Tune in. I will be here for a bit. Mike Slater's going to be hosting it. You know Slater's going to kill as he always does. Either way, that's tomorrow night. Now, we like to look back in history every now and then when we do these lighten the moods. And one of the great internet videos of all time is this one from years past.
You ready?
You ready to try it?
Yeah, sure.
Let's go.
Not disgusting.
Let's
all right,
go.
You ready? Give us a 30-second time. Here we go. So what's the deal here? There's a contest to stomp, and how are you measuring who does the best stomping?
And whoever stomps the most shoes wins an overnight stay, but it's not the only thing you can do.
The measuring cups are down below, right?
Measuring cups are down below.
All right. And if you win, you get to stay at Chateau Alain, and what else do you have going on here?
Well, if grape stomping's not your thing, you can come and spend the day listening to live music, eating international foods, having wine tours and tastings, vineyard tours, seminars, arts and crafts. It's a lot of fun, a whole day.
Stop.
Oh, I can't breathe. Stop.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
I think she's actually hurt.
No,
there.
I think she is.
Yeah, she's Ouch. Hurt. She took a hard fall off there.
Okay. Boy,
gosh, I hope she's okay.
Sorry. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.